Now, when you hear the phrase male birth control, you might remember some years back, 2016 it was, a study that was canceled at the time some in the media declared that men can't handle side effects that women face daily. That didn't get it quite right. The study was cut short because a lot of men showed significant adverse side effects. Since that 2016 study, though, and before it, researchers have been working to try to develop a male contraceptive. Now they may be closer than ever with a promising new candidate in development. Eleanor Cummins is a science journalist and adjunct assistant professor at New York University's Science, Health, and Environmental Reporting Program. She wrote a recent piece for STAT about the quest for male contraception. Eleanor, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, as you write, that 2016 announcement that a study had been cut short, the way it was reported on the media, I don't know, it seemed like to close the door on male contraception, the idea that, hey, men won't want to deal with side effects, so why bother? Talk about how that didn't get it quite right.
Yeah, absolutely. So the World Health Organization had undertaken a study for a male hormonal contraceptive with a very long name. But the basic premise is the same as 50 years of research in this field, which is how can we sort of manipulate the sort of male, hormonal and endocrine system in order to disrupt sperm production and therefore prevent pregnancy. The World Health Organization went through a trial to look at one possible way of doing this. And what they found was that it was pretty effective. On the whole, the participants in the trial really liked it. But some of them were having really serious emotional side effects, up to and including an individual who attempted suicide. And they decided, we need to sort of beg off here, right? Maybe these side effects are too serious. We don't exactly understand what's happening. And ultimately, we don't think it's worth it to continue this trial. So that gets picked up. It's, this whole narrative of men are wimps. They can't handle contraceptives, which women have been dealing with similar side effects, for decades. And it really felt like a nail in the coffin, according to a lot of male contraceptive researchers I spoke to. But fortunately, things are looking brighter once again.
Yeah, one of the most promising ones researchers are finding is, I think it's a long name drug. It's being called NES/T. What is it?
Yes, Neste. Neste is a combination of testosterone, which we all know, and another hormone called nesterone. This is a drug that is actually administered, at least in its current form, as a sort of liquid gel. So you take a pre-metered pump, almost as if you were, putting a little bit of hand sanitizer into your hand, and you apply it every day to your back. And so they're having a lot of success with this. While the phase two clinical trial is still underway, and so that data hasn't been, reported yet, researchers are saying that they're finding that this does seem to be extremely effective in preventing pregnancy. It seems to be safe, and it seems to be reversible, which we know because when couples have discontinued this trial, they've gone through a whole year on Neste alone as their sole birth control method. They've been able to come out the other side and have children. So things are looking pretty optimistic that maybe we have landed on a reversible hormonal male contraceptive, but there's a long way to go.
Yeah. One weird wild card you write about is, as you mentioned, testosterone is kind of the main thing people are using. It weirdly stops sperm production, apparently, except it does it really unpredictably, where one population might respond really well to it, another one, not so much.
Yes. So researchers have been, to my surprise, researching male contraceptives for almost as long as they've been researching female contraceptives. We have, research trials going back to the 1970s, so more than 50 years of sort of evidence looking at this. And when we started to focus on testosterone, we found it was, really effective from a contraceptive standpoint, because when you add more, as you said, to the male system, the brain responds by sort of breaking that link with the testes where testosterone is produced. And the result is that testosterone levels, within the body plummet, as does sperm production. So this is like a really powerful tool, right? And researchers started to begin to figure out how to manipulate that. But what they found was that it's not evenly effective across populations. In one study, they found that while almost all Asian males responded in a given trial to this testosterone strategy, a lot of their Caucasian counterparts actually failed to reach the ideal sperm suppression stage. And that's when sperm levels drop low enough that we can say, more or less, at least while you're taking this drug, you are infertile. And so that has left us in this sort of weird circumstance where 100% of females who take female birth control are going to respond. What does it mean if only 97, 98% of males respond to contraceptives? We've never really faced a situation quite like that before.
Another interesting question you write about is, when you're evaluating any medication, you're saying, okay, here are the side effects and risks. Do the benefits outweigh those risks? With a woman taking birth control, the risk you're looking at is unwanted pregnancy. Easy. For a guy, how do they measure factor that risk in to balance it versus side effects?
Right. So I would say right now that no one really knows. We don't have like a well-developed sort of ethical, construct to evaluate these pros and cons of a drug in someone who isn't going to be physically affected, at least by an unintended pregnancy or by a complicated pregnancy. So researchers are trying to fill that gap. Right now, we're seeing a lot of efforts to develop a model of what is being called shared risk. And so the idea is that, yes, maybe we haven't, been able to sort of summarize, like, okay, here is what the male partner sort of risks with an unintended pregnancy. But that doesn't mean that there aren't side effects, right? Whether those are social, economic, or perhaps biological, more research is needed. And similarly, maybe like that doesn't matter, right? If two people decide to take on both the sort of pros and cons of sex, then that means that they also share that responsibility for the optimal outcome. So with a shared risk model, researchers are trying to sort of pave the way for saying, yes, maybe there are an increase in side effects from male contraceptives for men, and no sort of risk of unintended pregnancy. But that's not good enough anymore, right? And we need sort of a model that looks at both partners as a unit.
We've talked a little bit about biology and ethics. Now, how about the economics? Is there a sense that, okay, we have a successful form of male birth control, people are going to buy it?
Right. So I think that there is a lot of optimism now that there is a sort of a consumer base for this, that there's definitely people who are ready and willing to take on this responsibility for male contraceptives. In trials to date, the people we're seeing who are enrolling and saying, like, yes, I'll be a guinea pig, test this on me, are often men whose female partners have sort of hit the end of the road in terms of what the available contraceptives are to them. So they've had bad reactions to, everything from copper IUDs to hormonal pills. So they're saying, yeah, I want to take that on. It looks like, we would have ultimately like more than half of men of sort of reproductive age in the US ultimately sort of open to an idea of a hormonal contraceptive, which is great. But what we're seeing is that the investment, which typically would come from the pharmaceutical industry, isn't there yet. And that's going to be crucial for pushing this forward, both, in collecting the research needed and actually taking it all the way to the Food and Drug Administration, to the FDA, and saying, will you approve this for use?
Very briefly, in our just last quarter minute, is there a timeline when we might see something like this on the market?
I think that we're not going to see this for another decade, which is, a little bit shocking because researchers have already been cranking on this for 15 years. But yeah, I would say that another decade seems like the sort of consensus right now, just in terms of what work is left to be done.
Eleanor, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Eleanor Cummins is a science journalist. She wrote about male birth control research in the journal Stat.